Welcome to Between Two Chairs, Demystifying Commercial Real Estate, the podcast that brings you the latest insights and trends on the South Florida commercial real estate market with your hosts, Fernando Arencibia Jr. and Jennifer Wollman. In each episode, we dive into the world of commercial real estate and break down complex concepts to make them accessible for everyone. Whether you're a real estate professional, a curious investor, or just interested in the South Florida market in general, Between Two Chairs is the podcast for you. So pull up a chair and join us.
Welcome, everybody, to another episode of Between Two Chairs. My name is Fernando Arencibia Jr., and with me, as always, is I don't know anyone who is more ready for 2025 than my co-host, Jennifer Wollman. Jennifer, say hi.
Hello, everybody.
How are you?
I'm great. How are you, Fernando?
Good. I'm good. I'm ready. I'm excited.
Good.
For every episode. I did want to say at the start of this that it's always so cool. Every once in a while, I'll get a text from someone who is listening to the podcast and who knows me. And it might have been a little blip of a thing that we said that resonated with them, or maybe we gave them a shout out and they were surprised to hear their name. But it's always a really cool thing. And, you know, we really are very grateful for anyone who listens. And this is a labor of love for us, and we love doing it. So thank you guys for pulling up a chair.
Yeah, and today we're going to, so along the lines, I guess, from one of the stories, you ran into somebody who had listened to one of our podcasts and was having an issue with a lease and something that he'd heard in it, and it worked. So that was great. So,
shout out to Ruben the Cuban. We're going to have in one of our episodes for sure. I think he might be slated for our 2025 season three.
For sure.
I love it.
For sure. And so we're doing more of a dive into leases because leases are so important, not just if you're actually doing tenant or landlord rep, but if you're purchasing a property that is subject to leases, they're probably one of the most important items in your due diligence. And we actually spoke with a lender, interviewed a lender that was Sarah Hernandez. So if you listened to her, she talked about that episode. She spoke a lot about the importance of leases and the leases that are on the property. So we wanted to do a deeper dive into a critical yet sometimes overlooked aspect of commercial real estate leases, and that is extensions. And so an extension is exactly what it sounds like. The lease original term will be for 5 years, but they will have, at the tenant's discretion, the option to extend an additional 2 years, an additional 5 years. They might have two additional 5-year terms, etc. So we're going to look into those. You know, should the tenants and landlords embrace them, proceed with caution? And we're going to explore kind of the pros and cons and what to look for, and offer some tips in navigating this provision of the lease. You know, some people might look at it and when they get the lease, just be like, okay, there's 5 years plus a 5-year extension. Great, let's just sign it. But you want to give a timeline. So how long does the tenant have to decide they're going to do the extension option? How much notice do they have to give? What are the terms of the option? Are they just going to be the same terms as the original 5-year? So let's say the original 5-year is every year it increases, I don't know, 3% or CPI, or 3% or CPI, whichever's higher, whichever's lower, et cetera. And then any option would be at basically the year 6 increase, right? So if they decide to do it. Or is it going to be at market rent? What if the market has changed significantly? What if inflation's changed significantly?
Right.
So all of those need to be ironed out in the original lease because they don't get renegotiated at the time of the option.
Yeah, I think it's important to note that from our side of the table, right, as a broker, we ideally are helping people do extensions that we help them get into that space. All right. So we were part of the negotiation for the initial lease. Now they're ready to pick up their option to be able to renew for another 5 years. And the only thing that matters is what's written in that contract. But oftentimes, I think very, very often, we will get a call from a tenant that's already in a space and they want help in being able to negotiate the lease extension. And a big part of it is understanding what is written in that document, right? Because it's going to basically set up what kind of options you have. So to your point, Jennifer, because 5 years could be a very short period of time, it could be a very long period of time. So when I get a call like that, the first question I ask is, well, when do you have to notify the landlord? And oftentimes they don't know, right? Or they think, well, I think it's 3 months. And remember, those things are negotiated 5 years before this person is calling me. Ideally, not exactly 5 years, ideally a few months earlier, because I've had that scenario where they say, well, I have to notify the landlord. And in many leases, you have to give them a 6 month head start. Mm-hmm. You have to let the landlord know whether you intend to pick up the option or not 6 months before. And the reason why the landlord does that is because the landlord now has to find a replacement to the tenant if you so decide not to pick up the option. And sometimes people are late to the game. And I've had the scenario where I've had a company call me and they were 3 months late to notify the landlord. The landlord had already been showing the space. The landlord had already found a tenant, and it was a tenant within the building that wanted to expand, right? And they had already signed a new lease because they never got any notification from the tenant. And it is not the responsibility of the landlord to remind the tenant that you have that time, but they did remind the tenant. You know, they usually will do a courtesy notice, but you don't want to count on that. So number one is exactly, do you actually have the option? If you miss the deadline, you no longer may have that option, right? Because you missed the timeline. So that becomes important. Another important component here is understanding that the rate is not set 5 years in advance. It is most likely market rate. So at that point, you know, one of the things that we do as a service is to basically give you a sense of where the market is in regards to price per square foot, right? Understanding that as a tenant, rent renewing the lease or picking up your option to extend means that now there is less expense. You know, you don't have to deal with moving expenses. You don't have to deal with build out. You already have a relationship with the landlord. So you're going to be able to negotiate what is likely to be some favorable terms, but they're still going to be within where the market is, right? I will add one third item, which I think is very important in that scenario, which is things that sometimes people either they don't share immediately because they don't understand how important it is, but it is, has the property changed ownership? That is incredibly important when you're negotiating, right? Because even though you do have your rights within the lease, you do have the right, the option to extend, it's a different scenario because the new owner may have a different set of requirements based on the lender that lend them the money to be able to purchase the property, or it may be that they have a totally different perspective. So you always want to know who you're negotiating with and what are the sticking points that they have. And to one of the things that you alluded to, sometimes, and we had that conversation with Sarah Hernandez, sometimes those sticking points are not necessarily created by the landlord. They're created by the financial instrument that they use in order to finance the property and the requirements that lender has. So all of those things are important to keep in mind.
Agreed. And just going back to whether...
I like it when you agree with me.
I usually agree with you, don't I? I don't know. So going back to negotiating the rent, if it's a fixed rental amount, that's pretty much a no-brainer. But if you're going to the fair market rental value and you're doing a reset, then the lease should specify what fair market value is. How is that determined? Do you have to have a certain number of broker opinions on what rents are? Mm-hmm. You have to make sure that they're for comparable properties. It should specify whether any consideration is going to be given for additional TIs. And that usually happens if it's a longer lease. Let's say it's a 10-year original term with a 5-year option or 2 5-year options. So all of that needs to be kind of ironed out in the original lease. And to your point about your experience, notification is extremely important. I've never run into it, but I did have this woman came to me one day. She represented the landlord. They'd had a restaurant tenant in there for years. It wasn't always a great relationship. And the tenant didn't notify, so they were able to lease it, get a much better, higher paying tenant in there. But it was a restaurant who had been there for 20 years. And they were freaking out because basically overnight, they pretty much had to shut down. Like within, they had like 3 months because they hadn't notified. When they finally found out that a new tenant was coming in, they now had to go try to find a new space, new lease, new everything. So it's super, super important that that your tenant understands the notification requirements. And it's usually a bracketed time frame. So you must notify at least 6 months in advance, but no more than a year or no more than 8 months or whatever the term is. So those are all the things in there. And then in terms of market rent, there should be something for a dispute resolution. If the landlord and the tenant can't agree on what fair market value is, then who supersedes who, or how is that resolved?
Unfortunately, a lot of leases are not that specific when it comes to that. They just basically say on market, and you know, or they have a way of phrasing it as such, because you know, usually landlords like to have a lot of flexibility when it comes to that. Correct. You know, what I have found is that, you know, it's good to have those things because you want to basically a tiebreaker to be enumerated in detail in the lease. You know, you want to understand, well, if you have an expectation of a value based on market and my expectation is different based on perhaps even the condition, right? Or things that are not happening in that building specifically, right? How do we break the tie and for me to still keep my option, but be able to negotiate something that I consider to be fair if you're on the tenant side or even on the landlord side. But I will say that oftentimes you are going to find a middle ground, right? Because there is a cost to acquire a new tenant, right? There's a tenant acquisition cost. And at the end of the day, they're going to take all those things into consideration. You can always get favorable terms in my experience when you're picking up an option and you're extending versus trying to find a like-kind space, elsewhere. But all within reason, meaning that just because you've been a great tenant there and you've been there for 10 years and now rents have increased, like what has happened to people over the last 5 years, they have perhaps when they picked up their first 5-year option, the increase was not significant. But now when they're picking up their second, if you picked it up over the last 5 years, that number has been significant. And it comes on the heels of you seeing a dramatic increase in your CAM if you're on a triple net lease, meaning that now, because of the common area maintenance costs, because of insurance costs specifically, now you've had to actually pay more. So your output has been significant. But that base rent has to come up because the landlord is under other pressure to be able to deliver, right? And the product has to come up. So even if they stay within a range of that number, it's not going to be so significant that they're going to be far behind. The landlord cannot simply say that because CAM has gone up 14%, that they're going to be 14% below market value when it comes to base rent. So understanding those dynamics and understanding the motivations of each side is going to be very important in the tenant being able to make that decision.
And some of the benefits. So some people say, well, why even bother with this inside of a lease? Why don't you just renew it? Because a lease renewal is a whole new agreement, whole new terms, whole new everything. And I know a lot of landlords who will not do extensions because they feel like they get too tied up in the property and it doesn't allow them enough flexibility because now they're really committing almost solely at the tenant's option to being with that tenant. tenant for the X number of years. In the example that I gave earlier, in this restaurant tenant, they had the option and they weren't a great tenant. So as soon as the landlord found an out, they got it.
Yeah.
But they probably would have gotten it out a lot sooner without
no, that. And to your point, if I may just add a quick anecdote here. I had a client recently retired in her mid-60s, has this office building, entered into a 10-year lease, and they wanted an option to renew for another 10 years. She's not thinking about what happens in the next 20 years for her. She's thinking, well, my two kids are going to inherit this property, right? And it's a long-term relationship. You know, when you sign a lease for 20 years, it's a marriage, right? Yeah. And so the idea is, well, I'll give you the 10, but I'm going to do only one option of 5 because, you know, I don't want to handcuff my kids in 15 years. I don't know where I'll be. I don't know if I'm even going to be around, but I also don't know if, you know, what my kids are going to want to do with the property and whether that lack of flexibility is going to affect them. So in here, when you're looking at it from the point of view of generational wealth and about being able to pass down this asset, the consideration is not only for the current owner, but it is in, at least for her, it was, the consideration was also for her kids and what they were going to inherit and having that flexibility. So great point, because I think that's an important component of why a lot of landlords hesitate to do, you know, long-term or give the tenant a lot of options to renew and a lot of extensions.
And the reason it's so important for the tenant, especially a tenant like a medical tenant or a restaurant tenant who has a lot of expenses moving in. For example, if you're in a diagnostic center and you have MRIs and x-rays and everything else, they cost you a lot of money to set up that space. And it's not easy to move or cheap to move an MRI, to build out an x-ray room, etc. And same thing with the restaurant, right? If you have a restaurant with a certain following, you have put in a certain amount into FF&E.
Furniture, fixtures, and equipment.
Yeah. From a tenant perspective, that's why you want it. It's also easier to budget your costs because you know pretty much, again, going back to the fact that people like certainty, it allows a little bit more certainty in terms of what their rents are further down the road.
Here's another anecdote that you triggered with your comments, which is I was representing a landlord who I had to fire basically because they were being unrealistic. We had a second generation restaurant that had been basically vacant for 5 years. When I get hired, I find her a tenant that wants to use it, right? She doesn't want to sign a lease for longer than 3 years because she's thinking of an exit, which is fair. I understand that. However, the way that the tenant was looking at it, he was going to have to invest $120,000 into the building. And so he was telling me, well, I'm going to basically have 18 months to make back my money. And then after that, I'll start making money. So if I have a 5-year lease, I can say, well, at least for 3.5 years, I'm going to be able to turn a profit. But doing a 3-year lease, that doesn't make any sense. So either she gives me a 5-year or she pays 100% for my TI. And even then he reconsidered and he goes, you know what? Even if she pays for the whole thing, I'm going into this new venture. I only have control of the space for 3 years. God knows what she's going to do after 3 years. She doesn't want to give me an option to renew. This is not a long-term relationship play for me. I need to go somewhere else where I could have a long-term relationship. And that's inevitably what happens.
Right. Yeah. And I think not to just keep beating this over, but it's just to emphasize the importance of these clauses. And you have to look at it from all points of view, especially if you represent the landlord. Right. You can understand the tenant wanting that security. But what if the landlord wants to sell? Right. Is an investor going to want a tenant tying them up for a certain number of years? If it's a big tenant and it's, you know, a Publix or, you know, high quality tenant, probably. But if it's a small mom and pop and the investor is more of a value add investor, then that's probably going to handcuff the new investor, right? So you always have to think kind of what are the landlord's long-term goals. because it might be that they're willing to do a renewal with a tenant, but they're not willing to do an extension, you know, to build in a lot of extensions if they want to sell the property or redevelop, you know, or do a redevelopment play. So that's it. That was what we wanted to get into today. Short and sweet.
Short and sweet. What I do want to say that I think, you know, it's important. What we find really interesting is when you have a certain number of years in this industry and you've seen so many different things, the reason why we do a podcast only on this one clause is because we have seen that create problems on both sides, on the landlord side, on the tenant side. And just like that little clause, there are little clauses all throughout the lease that can infinitely complicate your ability, if you're a landlord, to get debt, right? To refinance if you need to, your ability to sell at a highest and best price, right? And your ability to really profit, to make sure that it is a performing asset, right? And from the tenant side, you know, the same thing. It might cost you dearly on your business if you don't cross the T's and dot the I's. And so sometimes all these little things come down to we're in the middle of a transaction and sometimes we call them, well, we had a hiccup in the transaction. You know, well, that sounds very, you know, it's not a problem. It's a hiccup. It goes away just with time. Sometimes you hit a wall and some of those walls are unmovable, right? Because they're written down. And whether it's the way that the lease is written, things like first right of refusal and things of that nature. So there are little clauses that come up. And then when the transaction is over and you do sort of like your forensic review, you look back, it was like, man, if that language wasn't there, this entire experience would have been totally different for the parties that we're representing. And so that's why these little items become important. And that's why we like to do these podcast dives into the details.
Yeah, and I do want to say that I am not a fan of the phrase "what if" in my personal life, because what if you spend a lot of time worrying about stuff that may or may not ever happen. However, as a broker or as an investor, I always look at the what ifs of the contract or the lease, because to your point, one word in the lease can change the entire meaning of that section or of what somebody can or can't do. That's the only time that I think you have to look at transactions with the what if lenses. What if the landlord decides it's not a long-term hold? What if the tenant decides that they want to stay for the full 20 years, but you have a better option, or you have a better tenant who wants to expand in the only place, you know, all those what if scenarios. I think are very important when you're looking at commercial real estate.
If I may do this, and it's a pitch for the industry and the brokers in the industry, but if you're a tenant and you're getting ready to do a negotiating an extension to your lease, hire a professional. Hire a professional. It's going to serve you very, very well. I could tell you for certainty that the landlord has a professional on their side helping them negotiate. So just keep that in mind. Well, thank you, everybody, for listening in. We are excited as 2025 is getting underway, and we have some South Florida market outlooks, and we have the CCIM Outlook Conference coming up here in Miami-Dade County. So we're very excited to bring you some of those insights in the next few episodes. Thank you again for pulling up a chair. Bye.
Bye-bye. Hope you thrive in 25.
Ooh, look at you.
Look at me.